Son, and Holy Spirit.
Now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God, Because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord. The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 5, verses 1 through 11. Let us read by half verse. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness.
In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions.
And my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned. Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth.
Sinner from my mother.
For behold, you look for truth deep within me.
And will make me understand wisdom secretly.
Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure.
Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed.
Make me hear of joy and gladness.
Let the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins,
and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit within me."
A reading from the first letter to Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. I chose that as an offertory hymn for the Eucharist that we had during my wedding with my wife Amy. And she said, you know, that's a funeral dirge. Am I supposed to read something into that? And I said, no. No, I think it's a beautiful song. And it's actually really good for offertory, anyway. Jesus said, which one of you, having a hundred sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost? Okay, so this famous gospel reading gives us Good Shepherd Sunday, but it also tells us something about God's character and about our own nature that I think Jesus is trying to highlight. And I don't think it's as simple as the image we have of, you know, usually long-haired, usually bearded Jesus with the lamb over his shoulders, or maybe hugging a lamb. It's a sweet image, but it's also simple. And I think there's more to this story than that. I think there's more in this story that Jesus wants us to hear. His parable is a response to a phenomenon which has been with us probably as long as religion itself. And it still typifies us as churchgoers, whether we like it or not, and many members of our faith in the U.S. and abroad, and members of other faiths too. The Pharisee said, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. It's a disposition which drives smart and creative young people from our doors in droves. Drives them away from any interest in the church, the Bible, or any of it. Petty judgmentalism. And yes, Jesus' words speak to God's posture, God's interest in pursuing us when we go astray. Sure. And of course, that's important. Yeah. But here, Jesus addresses the righteous, the saved, the churchgoers, with his parables. He said, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost? And he uses our attitudes toward secular things, sheep or money, to illustrate God's attitude towards sinners. If we could get over the idea of being right and settle for being connected, for being loving people, this wouldn't be such a tough lesson for so many to learn, I think. So consider this with me. Maybe this gospel passage doesn't have anything to do with us being lost sheep in need of rescuing from the big guy, so much as our role in all of this. There are different ways to see this story. But as I've received this story over the years, it's always the sinner who repents. The sinner who repents is you, is the one who's listening to the story. You, me, the listener. But as I revisit it now, I'm struck. It seems that the sinner who repents is one whose encounter with God is facilitated by you. You understand? Facilitated by me. Facilitated by the listener. Repentance is a response of the sinner who has been met not with petty judgment of the faithful, but with love. Judgmental attitudes are tired, predictable. They reflect the worst we have to offer as a faith, as a culture, as human beings. But to be open, to receive people as they are, this carries a message in itself. I'm interested in you. I want to understand you. I want to share a meal with you. The fire of the Holy Spirit charges this approach with the power of God. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was telling uppity Pharisees why he was friends with these interesting sinners, why he loved them. Why now are Christians still known for their uptight, priggish judgment of those who are not like them? Now I know I'm preaching to the converts here. I know this. But the call today is to recall in our hearts the God who changed his mind in Exodus. I want to just take a moment and look at that again. Moses negotiating for his people with God. It really is beautiful. Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "Why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent he brought them out to kill them and the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?" So not only God, but the God of the Old Testament, and not just the Old Testament God, but the one that we get to know in Exodus, is saying, "Well, you know, maybe I had the wrong idea, and I guess Moses is right, and I'm going to change my mind and not be so judgmental." If that God can do it, surely we can inspire other Christians to join us and welcome others with open arms. And not even the love the sinner or hate the sin business. How about just love? We can do that, right? And not only can we do it, but we can do it in a way that inspires others to join us. I think that's a beautiful vision. I think it's something we've been called to since before Jesus' day. Surely it was so stale a problem by that time that Jesus said, "Hey, hang on, you Pharisees, why don't you listen to me right now?" And he told them these parables. Here's another beautiful line in our readings today. In Psalm 51, verse 7, "For behold, you look for truth deep within me." Consider that for a moment. The writer of the psalm has sinned gravely. And he says here in verse 7, "You, God, look for truth within me, a sinner." That means there's truth there to be found. There's something to be interested in. We're called to join God in this effort. Sure, sometimes we're the sheep that needs to be found, but what's more important here is that sometimes we join in God's efforts to find the lost. And I'm not talking about asking people that have heard of Jesus. Of course, people have heard of Jesus. I'm talking about the real work of receiving people with love, connection. It's so important, it can't be overemphasized. And yet it's a hard thing to maintain for ourselves. One thing I encounter as a therapist is when we've protected ourselves from pain for long enough, eventually we can lose the ability to connect with others. Well, sometimes it's time to come back to ourselves and remember that to feel love, you also have to be able to feel pain. It's painful to love. Welcome to being a human being. It's just the way it is. So I think the call today is to recall in our hearts the God from the Old Testament who changed his mind, the one who looks for truth in the sinner in Psalm 51, and with whom we share an itch to find that which is lost and return it to the loving bosom of our Redeemer. Our image should closely align, more closely aligned to Jesus than to the Pharisees. I think you're up to the task, all of you, and I think I am too, but always with support and with God's help. Amen.
Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, but from being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified and righteous power. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended to heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you.
Let your name be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also share in the coming kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray especially for Jim, Jill, Karen, David, Alan, the Gloyer family, Patty, Carol, Sarah, Chris, Pat, Maureen, Jim, Jane, Joey, Kristen, RG, Alicia, Diane, Mark, Martin, George, John, the Degatier family, Jeff, the people of Ukraine. Are there others?
I also offer up prayers for United Kingdom, mourning their monarch.
And for those in the military, Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Brian, Gerard, Chris, Eric, Jonathan, and all in harm's way. We pray for all who are traveling this week. We pray for all who have died, especially Rick Chapman, Dusty
Hudson, Stephen Cox, Don Milovanovich, Morgan Wright, Tony Adlerbert, Bill Reiner, and Neil Cloyer.
And Queen Elizabeth II.
We pray in thanksgiving with Bobby and George Clear, who celebrate their anniversary, and with Caden Walker, who celebrates his birthday this week.
We offer a prayer especially on this day, the 15th anniversary of the attacks on 9/11. O God, continue to comfort those whose families were torn apart, whose souls were seared by that awful experience 21 years ago today. Help them all to know and feel the strength of your presence and the healing power of your love. O God, terrorist attacks are ghastly. They can happen when and where we least expect, and not just on commuter flights, but in grocery stores or restaurants and libraries or in schools. O God, by your insistence, may we know that hating the other is no solution. Show us how to contradict terror by treating every human being as your beloved son or daughter. Teach us what it means to love, not only neighbors, but enemies as ourselves. Through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I thought you were going to say peace.
Thank you.
I had talked about having an instruction for lay readers to acolyte, if the need be, because we have Grady, but he's not here every week, and I can't blame him. So we'll just do that. It'd be a short, like 15, 20 minute walkthrough of what needs to be done. Not very difficult. And that's it. Right after the service. What? After the service. I said that low. I'm sorry. I got new hearing aids, so I can hear myself. Not as much as them, but I will say that.
Okay. Walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
I know. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross, and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will die again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Let us pray. Loving God,
we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen.
May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, and defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.